A new report from the Grattan Institute has found the public hospital system wastes approximately $1.2 billion a year on avoidable spending. The report follows strong backlash from state and territory governments to a letter from Prime Minister Anthony Albanese urging them to rein in spending, which they argued was beyond belief considering the immense pressure they're under. The Wire's Maeve Groom spoke with senior associate of the Grattan Institute's health program and one of the authors of the report, Elizabeth Baldwin, about how public hospital spending got to this level.
So we took a look at the overall picture of hospital spending in Australia. This is public hospital spending. We put a lot of money into it as taxpayers. It's about $90 billion a year. So we want to make sure that we're getting the best value for every single one of those dollars. These are absolutely vital services. And we know that some people are missing out at the moment because they're stuck on waiting lists. They're not being seen on time in emergency departments. So our approach was to compare the cost of different treatments across different hospitals within the same state. So every hospital does things slightly differently, the way they organise their staff, how quickly they discharge patients, the number of automatic tests that are ordered when patients are staying in hospital. And we found that those differences add up to a big difference in how much each hospital is spending to deliver care. So for example, a hip replacement in Victoria varies by about $15,000 from one hospital to another. A caesarean section in Western Australia ranges from $12,000 more at the most expensive hospital compared to the least. And so when we added up all of those differences across the country, we think that there's about $1.2 billion of costs that could be reinvested in the system if the most expensive hospitals learned from the best in their state and were able to cut costs.
Prime Minister Albanese wrote to state and territory governments back in September urging them to rein in public spending. As a result, some of the states have reacted angrily, citing the intense pressure they are under. Is anyone right in this scenario, or does there need to be a balance between spending and easing the strain on the system?
That's right. It's a bit of column A, bit of column B in this one. Now, the states complain that the Commonwealth hasn't contributed its fair share over the past few years. And we think they're partly right on that. Since 2018, the Commonwealth has capped its funding growth, it's how much it contributes to public hospitals, at about 6.5% a year. Now, we've had periods of really high inflation, population growth over that period. So that doesn't actually cover a lot of new care and new admissions. So the state governments are right that the Commonwealth, you know, hasn't been contributing enough, and we think that needs to change. But it's also fair enough for the Commonwealth to be worried about the value it's getting for those extra dollars. One of the big findings from our report is that hospital budgeting has kind of become a sham. Every year, state governments set a budget for hospitals at the start of the year, and then at the end of every year, they bail them out. The hospitals run a deficit and more money needs to be poured into the system. So you can understand why the Commonwealth is worried that spending is growing every year. What's the assurance that we're getting great value for those dollars? So we think that there needs to be a bit of a bargain on both sides to break out of that deadlock.
What recommendations could be implemented by both the federal and state governments to fix the hospital budgets while not compromising the standard of patient care? You noted in the report that Australia could follow examples used within the UK and Canadian systems.
There's a lot that we can learn from other countries and even within Australia on ways to do care more efficiently, often even better for patients, while cutting costs. One example is hospital complication. A lot of people who go to hospital end up picking up an infection or a pressure injury, a bed sore, or some other complication. Now, that's terrible for patients. Obviously, you go to hospital to get well, not sicker, but it also adds to the cost of the stay. It often means people stay longer, they might need more treatment to treat that secondary complication. And these complications are things that some hospitals manage better than others. Some hospitals have put in place really effective programs to deal with them. And so that's one example of something that could be spread more widely. Another is learning from overseas. So in the UK, they've just done a big trial in London where doctors use AI note-taking software. And that means the doctors spend more time with patients, about 23% more time with patients, but the appointment lengths overall actually drop 8%. 10% less because there's less of that time spent on admin. So it's a win-win. So we think there's plenty of ideas around the system, but the reason they're not being spread is that these broken budgeting dynamics have kind of ruined hospitals' ability to invest in new projects like that. When they don't know how much their budget is for the whole year, it's harder for them to plan new projects, hire staff for a new initiative, and the incentive to really control costs is less when there's a bailout coming at the end of the year. So we think if state governments reset budgets, got real about the fact that this spending is coming during the year and put that in place from the start of the year, matched with really clear consequences and performance expectations for hospitals, that could kind of break us out of that deadlock.
Elizabeth Baldwin from the Grattan Institute there, speaking with The Wire's Maeve Groom.